Hey guys, this is my leak. This is my podcast. I am back today with a topic. This topic came to me a couple of weeks ago and I started some notes and I want to talk to you about something and I want to hear back from you as it relates to this. But do you ever feel like some people are luckier than you? I know we say things like comparison is the thief of joy, and I am the queen of telling you, you know, you got to mind your business. And because multiple things can be true, while minding your business, you keep seeing these beautiful things happen to others. Maybe it's a spouse or a partner, maybe it's your children, your friends, your parents. But I had this idea that sometimes it seems like some people are just lucky. And this is a podcast that I wanted to do for you about increasing your luck. I think it'll be a fun one. So growing up, my mom's older sister, my aunt, always won contests and sweepstakes. We would go to my aunt's house and I'd go back there. My aunt didn't have children, so I'd go back to her house. She lived behind my grandmother and she would have like things with tags on them, toys. She'd win tickets. I think we even won this trip to New York City with her. I mean, she had like, I want to say she had like a free timeshare. There was rarely a time that I would go back to my aunt's house and she hadn't won something or, you know, heading somewhere like a free trip. At an early age, my aunt taught me that you can't win a contest you don't enter. She won all these prizes because back then, and I think it still applies today, people just didn't take the time to enter. I remember being so fascinated by her life. You know, how do you do this? And so this is before the internet. So she had a whole strategy of how she mailed things in. And so the more sweepstakes you enter, the more you show up in life, the less you have to rely on luck to win. And so it's all about increasing your chances. And so I found this little, these little tidbits on how to be better at sweepstakes. And so I want to share them and then maybe we can see how we apply them to our lives. But they said, this is why people don't win sweepstakes. They say, you don't read the sweepstakes rules. And I, as a person who owned a business for a very long time, I can tell you that a lot of people don't read. And so if you're not reading the rules, if you're not taking the time to read the instructions, if you're not reading, you're less likely to win. Sponsors can't get in touch with you. Now, I know this is a tricky one because I know why people keep their social media things private. But if you want to win in the way that you are watching others, perhaps you need a different IG, one that you can have be public so that you can increase your chances of winning. This next one is a no-brainer. You're not entering enough. And so, I mean, we can think about that as it applies to like jobs or contests. I am not sure if I have shared here. I feel like I have about the time I got that big internship where I did read and I didn't meet all the qualifications, but I just said, bump it. And I just applied anyway. And because so few people applied, I ended up getting it. Another one is that you're not using all of your chances. And so if they're saying that you can enter once a day, you're not doing that. And I liken that to the follow-up. How often do you follow up after you've entered something, after you've sent a note, after you've, you know, applied? How often are you following up and using all of your chances? Another one is you are entering the wrong sweepstakes. And we talked about that. You know, they say don't always go after the big Powerball. Go after those smaller ones that are easier to win. A lot of people win and don't know that they won because they don't check their email. And so I know email is tricky, but you need to check to see if you won. And the final one was that you aren't patient. And so We know that. And I feel like I could end the podcast here because there was so much magic in that. But let's talk about some of the misconceptions about luck. We see it all the time. I work for this. I didn't get lucky. And I used to say that too. Like, you know, my hard work got me here, not luck. But the truth is that there is some luck with every win. It makes me think about this quote by Morgan Housel. He wrote this book, The Psychology of Money. If you haven't read The Psychology of Money, please get it now. There are a handful of books that I say everybody must read. This is one of my everybody must read books, The Psychology of Money. He says, luck and risk are both the reality that every outcome in life is guided by forces other than individual effort. They are so similar that you can't believe in one without equally respecting the other. They both happen because the world is too complex to allow 100% of your actions to dictate 100% of your outcomes. They are driven by the same thing. You are one person in a game with 7 billion other people and infinite moving parts. And so two things stick out about this quote. What he's saying is every outcome in life is guided by forces other than individual effort. There is good music out, you know, good music that will never win a Grammy. There are great books written that will sell very little. There are top executives hidden in organizations. And I think so often we think that our effort and our outcomes should be parallel, but there is a level of luck that is required. Another thing is 100% of your effort doesn't dictate 100% of your outcome. That's not the math. So you can have a good idea or a good business, but the outcomes won't always reflect your effort. And I know that encourages many to ask, why them and not me? My thing is good too. You know, I see it, I hear it. Somebody comes out with something. I remember when I first started Curlbox, I got a call from, I don't even remember who anymore, of somebody saying that they had the same idea. And in my mind, I was like, but you didn't do it. You know, like there are very few new ideas. And there are very few people who are doing something new. So it's like, there are people who are great writers who didn't have a book that hit, you know, maybe it's like the topic wasn't, you know, they're just, the alignment wasn't there. And so I know why people are like, why am I not, things not happening? So that brought me to want to talk about some of these ideas by Dr. Richard Wiseman. He's a professor out of the UK. If you care to do the research and look him up, you can, but he researched about luck. And he says that lucky people tend to be extroverted, optimistic, and most importantly, open-minded. By being curious, these people see things that others might miss. And so I know that everyone isn't going to be extroverted. And I don't know if that's something that I can help with. But when it comes to being more optimistic, or open-minded, which is where I want to hang. I think we can work on our open-mindedness. Many of us have been manifesting or staying positive in hopes of getting lucky. But the big question to ask yourself is, how open-minded are you? How optimistic are you? And I know that trying to figure out how to become more open-minded sounds like a daunting task. So let's take a few bites out of this together today. I am open-minded. At least I think I am. You know, I try not to use words like weird to describe something I don't understand. I just try to say, you know, it's different. I don't have to get it. I push myself in areas that I feel are outside of my realm of understanding or comfort, because I don't want to create an echo chamber in my life where I only seek out things I understand. And so then I'm having everything echo back to me to confirm that my choices, my ideas, the way I live is right. So I seek out things. I purposely read things I'm not interested in. I purposely, the minute something like, if there's something that feels prickly to me, I'm going to go read about it so that it's not so jarring, because even if I don't understand it, I can learn more about it. And so let's look at some characteristics of open-minded people. And I want you to see where you can grow in an area. So open-minded people, because we are increasing our love, open-minded people tend to be curious to hear what others think. Are you curious to hear what others think? I think about, there have been times, for those of you who listen to, I believe it's podcast 171, the I'm Here For You podcast, the live podcast we did in New York. There would be times where someone in the audience would ask a question to one guest, and I was so curious to know what someone else on the panel thought about it, because I know, or I felt like they might have something different, a different approach to the topic that was equally profound. And so there would be times where I'm like, oh my God, I wonder what, you know, I'm looking at you because I wonder what you think about this. And so I'm curious to hear about what others think. You have to be able to have your ideas challenged. Now that is, I'm not going to sit here and act like that's easy for me, because that is some growth that I had to, that is just something that I've had to work on, you know, where I love my ideas. I think my ideas are great. But I have a couple people in my life who will like shoot them down and, or at least get me to think. And so I remember when I was first starting Curlbox, I had a friend who I just was sharing my ideas with, and he told me all of the ways that he didn't think it was going to work. And I didn't view that as I shouldn't do it. I took that as these are what the potential problems could be, and so let me just work on them now. And I told him after I started the company, just about everything he told me that was going to be a problem was a problem. And I just thanked him for taking the time to do that. So being open to having your ideas challenged, not feeling angry when you are wrong, you know, you will be wrong. And if you have a hard time with being wrong, like once a day, do a little practice. I was wrong. I am wrong. That was wrong. Just get yourself comfortable saying it, because I had to do that. You know, let me just practice. I was wrong. That was my mistake. any way that feels good for you to say my bad, please get comfortable saying that. You are wrong. And something I feel like we may, I don't like using the word struggle, but just like something that we may be challenged by is that if we admit that we are wrong or say that we are wrong, that like we think that that's a confirmation that we aren't good people. Good people make mistakes and do bad things. Okay. Good people mess up intentionally, unintentionally. It's just, I mean, it's just the experience of being human, y'all. So you will be wrong. Open-minded people tend to have empathy for other people. And something that I've been learning about having empathy for other people is that the more I focus on myself and have compassion with myself, the more empathy that I can build for others. And so the more I take care of me, the more empathy I can have. And so I feel like if you find that you can't be empathetic for others, use that as your check engine light that you need to take care of you, or you need some help taking care of you, and to maybe seek some professional help or a support group, or get some support around the fact that you just don't feel like you can be empathetic. So if you can't, you are not wrong. You are not bad. Your check engine light is on, and that's something you want to address. Open-minded people tend to consider what other people are thinking. And I feel like that's a slippery slope, because I sometimes think we try to think we know what other people are thinking, but just like consider it. If somebody brings something up, Even if we don't agree, even if we don't want to, I can consider it. Open-minded people tend to be humble about their knowledge and expertise. Also another slippery slope. But I think this idea of when you're humble about your knowledge or expertise, you know that there is some knowledge and expertise that ages. And so even if I think I know what I'm talking about today, what I'm saying today may not track in 5 or 10 years. And so staying open-minded is willing to be able to be like, okay, I said that. That's not true anymore. Or I said that and I was wrong, you know? And so be humble about your knowledge and what you know. Like, we are not, no one's the end all be all. Open-minded people tend to want to hear what other people have to say. And so there's being curious about what they think, but it's like, what do they have to say? I want to hear it. You know, I want to hear it, even if it's not a fully formed thought. What's on your mind? And open-minded people tend to believe others have a right to share their beliefs and thoughts. So where can you grow in any of those areas? If you know, ping me, I'm on the socials, you know, hit me up and let me know an area that you feel like you want to work on. And so a couple of other quick tips, look for opportunities, change your daily routine and put yourself in new environments and experiences. Say yes to something that you might typically decline. Follow your gut. Your gut is in place for a reason. Listen to it. You can get a little luckier when you listen to your gut. Expect good things. Expect good things. I would almost trade like manifesting, and I have no issue with manifesting, but like if I wanted to put something down, like if we were going to update your vision board, if you have manifesting on your vision board, I would just put a little sticky note or a little tape over it and say, expect good things. When you expect good things and you raise your hand for opportunities, you expect good news. Ask for what you want. When you expect good things, you will ask because you are expecting something good in return. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but like we're increasing our luck here. Advocate for yourself. Speak up because you expect good things. Now, I want you to act lucky. Many studies have found that acting as if something is true can bring about some of that truth. I am not going to bore you with details of all the ways I have acted lucky, acted financially secure, acted like I had it all together. I want to tell you about a famous experiment by Ellen Langer at Harvard. So this is such a fun story, you guys. She brought 8 70-year-old men from a nursing home into an environment designed to look like how they lived 20 years earlier. So how they were living when they were in their 50s or at 50. She gave these men explicit instructions to pretend that they were 20 years younger. So you're 70, everything looks like everything did when you were 50, and you're going to act like you did when you were 50. You want to know what happened? After 1 week, they improved strength, posture, memory, perception, cognition, hearing, and vision. 4 volunteers looked at before and after photos and rated the after photos on average of 2 years younger than their before photos. 1 week. In her book, she writes that the men, some of whom were walking on canes, spent their last morning playing an impromptu touch football game on the front lawn. Now, Dr. Wiseman's final advice, and this is the gentleman out of the UK who studied luck, his final advice is to try to make others lucky. You can share your knowledge, mentor others, offer your time, presence, and expertise, or be kind. By doing so, you could change someone's life forever. And so, you know, if you live your life in a way that makes other people lucky, you might even feel even luckier yourself. Until next time, you guys.